Session number 106, 99.
Brigadier Rymer Jones, Reel 24, you were telling me about Gort, was it?
Yes, I was saying, and again, Lord Gort says, don't you think that you could have better, more of this or better of that, you see? And each time, Fred Pyle says, it's very, very well run here, so it's fine. So, Lord Gort, of course, he falls for Clo. He thinks he's marvellous. Well, so did I, actually. He ran a marvellous show there. And chaps in the Jewish agency said, well, if you don't like what I'm doing, why don't you send me to Latrun? I could do with a holiday there. You see, so we finished with that compound. There's another compound where I had a very awkward thing. You see, the war had finished then, and they had the problem of the Polish army. The Polish, they were very good at Free Poles, you know. But they had some very naughty boys in them, criminal. And so we had an arrangement where I and the Polish consul and a government official, another one too, we sat there and we decided when the army didn't know what to do with these people, because the Russians had entered Poland and they couldn't send them back there, you see. So they had a compound in my latrine. And they were dreadful naughty boys, and they used to rejoice in going over to the fence or the wire which divided them from the Jews and showing their backsides to them and so on, you see. And so I take Lord Gort in there, and the first thing that happens is that two of these fellows throw fake fits. And there they are all lying all over the place, foaming at the mouth and so on. Lord Gort looked at them and he said, they're a bit difficult, aren't they? And then a little fellow comes up. He said, what does he want? I said, well, he's rather an interesting case, actually. He swallows spoons. Large spoons. Why does he do that? I said, because he doesn't like being here. So I said, we send him up to the Jerusalem hospital to have him evacuated, and he comes back here and starts again. So he said, well, I think I've seen enough here. But it was a remarkable place. I could have done with the rest there myself, actually.
Just a final point. How did you come to end your service as Inspector General? You've told me the story of part of it, but was it just the end of your term of service?
I think I've told you this already, but at any rate, when it came to the end of my 2 years, the government, Palestine government, said, will you sign on? And I said, oh yes, of course I will. There was a new commissioner at home. And because I was still a Palestine policeman, you see. I was still a metropolitan policeman. And he said, I want him back. He's wrecking my pyramid of promotion. I want to promote him and to post him to command Northwest Greater London. So, but of course, if things are so bad out there, he can sign on for another year. But I'd like him home as soon as he can, as soon as it's possible. So the High Commissioner, was cunning, said, what do we do now? So I said, well, it's very difficult, you see, because here you are, there are a lot of people in the Colonial Police Service, it's a life job. But apparently they came to the conclusion, my predecessor, Alan Saunders, decided that he didn't fancy anybody in the colonial service who was up to taking his place. So they then got home to England and had a short list of people, which included me. I didn't ask, but I found myself on it. Apparently there were a chap from Tanganyika had heard about me or something. So I said, well, there you are. So they got a bloke from home. I said, there was a bloke who was coming out to me, to you here, called E.W.C. Wace, who was at school with me, a very fine fellow. And he went, while I was still at school, to the Indian police. And he's been head of the CID in the Punjab. And now his wife's died, and he said, I'm fed up with the show, I'm going home, I don't want another job. So that's a bit awkward, because I don't know of anybody who I fancy, or I think would fancy this job. So may I suggest, sir, that if you can find a fellow who, in the war at any rate, has been of high rank and a great success, then I suggest that we do the same thing again and take him on, because although he won't be a policeman, he'll be led, because he'll be quite a chap, and he's got a marvellous police staff under him, the police force. So, all right, he says, we'll do that. So up comes the Major General, temporary, of course, Eric Bowles, whose father was a general too, and was quite a big noise in Palestine in the old days. And he'd been commanding
paratroopers.
What?
Paratroopers.
Yeah. And so he put in for it. So I said, this is a nonsense, you know. He's one of what they call the young major generals. He's already booked for the big staff appointment at home, which means a great future, the school. And I think he'd be mad. You know what's happening here. I said, Palestine is dissolving under us, and there'll be no future for him, whereas he's chucking away a marvellous future. So I said, I'll tell you what I suggest, sir, that I ask Eric Bowles, that was his name, to lunch with me, and I'll work on him today. And will you ask him for Government House to dinner and complete the job? So he did. And then he wrote to me and said, very much against my better judgment, I've decided to pack up my application for the whatchamacallem. But I don't like the fuss of the great organisations and so on. I'm a bit of a rebel. But he went home. So what do we do now? So I said, well, carry on the good work. And then, you see, Cunningham had the two admirals, Cunningham. They were great features. They commanded in the Mediterranean. And John Cunningham was then, that was his cousin, not his brother, I think, who wrote in and said, I've got a temporary marine here who I suggest you might take on. And that was Nicol Graves, yeah. So I was having a rush job of getting rid of trouble in hospital, in government hospital, and Cunningham came to see me. And he said, I think we've got a man. I said, oh, yes. He said, my I said, has he had high, really high rank? Oh, yes, I think so. He'd been a lieutenant colonel, actually. You see, that was Nickel Gray. So I said, all right. So they took Nickel Gray, you see. That's how it all occurred.
Were you sad to leave? Would you have rather stayed, or was it attractive, the proposition of senior rank in the police at home?
Oh, I loved my job at home as it was. It nearly killed me, my last 9 years. They threw everything at me. I was going to say nearly every branch of the service, and I was working day and night. But I loved that. But nobody could persuade me, although the chief secretary had been trying to destroy me. Nothing could have persuaded me to have given up the Palestine police. It was the most marvellous job in the world. Absolutely marvellous. And all these fellows, that's why we all like ourselves so much. That's why I'm all Palestine police now, you know.
What measures did he take? You say he tried to destroy it. What did he actually do?
I don't think you'd better put it on there. Well, the silly things, really. What was the first one? It has come to my notice in a letter. Oh, yes. There had been improprieties in connection with the furniture and so on, which we gave you for the PMF, which was the property. You know the story?
I know what you mean, yes. So he was...
In actual fact, as soon as I knew I could get that, for the much needed stuff for the PMF, I got hold of Howard Beard. He was this quartermaster. And I said, Mr. Beard, I am giving you the PMF quartermaster to help you, and you will go and take this stuff, and you'll get it all down on paper, every item. I know what happened to me at home when the army lost all our arms and so on, and I took over anything that was going in the gun shops in England. And when the army took it over, they soon came back and said, you didn't give us certain things missing. I said, no, you be careful what you do, because here I've got your signature to all the lists, you see. And so when I got out there, naturally, I was very careful about other people's property. And because he fell down badly there, because we'd take this stuff over, it was heaped up in bags in two houses, you see. We had it all beautifully out to people, signatures, so on. And what was the result when I went through it? There were two of the chief secretary's boys who were short of something ridiculous, frying pan or something like that, and no police at all.
Anything else?
So it went into a report. I ought to have gone round and bullied him, you know. But the other thing was, of course, when the army were running that show before the war, and they took over the business of the oil line being broken, they were very naughty. They were very hard on the Arabs over there. And so when that came to an end, the Arab trouble, they said, instead of the army having a blooming army doing it and frightening everybody to death, the IPC, the Iraq Petroleum Company, will be responsible for it. Police can't possibly do it, quite apart from our strength. They've only got these little frontier control posts along the frontier, and you want a young army. And so Then it came to my notice there'd been a break, you see. This was towards the end. And so the chief secretary, who I suppose didn't know the old arrangement, that the IPC had taken it over, he got on the phone to me and in a very rude voice said, "The High Commissioner wants to see you. It's about this break in the oil line." So I went up. My poor old Gort, who I adored, was very ill then. It was towards the end, you know. And he was more or less bent over. And I could see him. He'd been told that I'd been frightful again, of course. And the back of his neck was all rather red. And so I thought, "Hello, what's trouble here?" And he said, "Why were they able to break the oil line, you see?" So I thought, well, I must be kind to the old man. So I didn't say to him what I could have said, that is, somebody ought to know better, that it's the job of the Iraq Petroleum Company. I said, "You know, it's a very little thing. It used to be done frequently and always, and I've got no men in the north to take on a job like that. It isn't my work." And so he just passed on to something else, you see. But that was the... obviously, the chief secretary had not known what the old arrangement was, and he thought, "Here's my chance." How low people can be.
Right. Well, thank you very much.